Gene texted in from Spring Hill and said the Yankees three-peated 98, 99, 2000.
I knew there was a three-peat in there somewhere for them.
Padres, Braves, Mets. They won in 96, obviously didn't win in 97, and then they won 98, 99, 2000.
But the Lakers have done it since then.
So they did it 4 or 5 years.
Right? Weren't the Lakers in the 2000s?
Yep. We will continue on. Let's bring in Corey Curtis. News 2. Corey, what's going on?
If it's news to you, it's news to us.
All right. I like that. You know what? Weigh in on what we were just talking about. I don't know if you heard John Hines' comments with us yesterday at the Fordyce Center in Antioch, and you've seen the video with Philip Forsberg. And all. Does any of that mean anything to you, or is it a whole lot to do about nothing and your stance, whatever your stance is, and that's where I want you to go with this, it hasn't changed?
I don't think it's really changed. I mean, for me, I think he wants to be back. I think the Preds want him back. I think the Preds will believe he's back. But until he's back, he's not back. I know that's a whole lot of nothing I just said. For me, I'm going to believe that they're going to get it worked out until they don't. And that might be naive on my part, but I just, after the whole Ryan Suter thing, I can't believe this could happen again. And I think Forsberg's agents, if he's got any, I don't know, they know they've got the Preds over a barrel. And
by the way, Forsberg does have an agent, and it's out there, and it's public and everything.
He doesn't have a team.
Doesn't have a team. And he's probably got an uncle, but I don't think the uncle's not a part of the team.
Okay. Well, so I believe that they know they've got the Preds where they need them, and they'll get what they want to get when it comes time to finally have a deal. I mean, Landeskog last year went down to the 11th hour, didn't it?
It did.
And so I think we'll see something, you know, similar here.
So you would give your percentage that he's back at what?
I've been hearing you guys do this all week, and I probably should have been prepared for that question. I'd say, I don't know, 75%.
75, okay. That's
pretty high.
It's pretty strong. It's pretty strong.
Yeah, well, I mean, the Preds haven't wavered. I mean, and so, I mean, I think, you know, he's important to them, and I think they're going to do what it takes. But I think they're just trying to do the best they can.
So we segue into something that you already hit on, and boy, did we talk about this yesterday, because little did we know when we played the Jeffrey Simmons Q&A with the media yesterday what we were going to get. We had no idea. It was just like, oh,
yeah,
Simmons talked? Okay, we're playing that.
I was there. We were shocked. They said he was coming out. We were like, oh, really?
Okay. Right. That's what we were like, because Max was like, I was like, you know, we're talking down the line. I was like, hey, who's talked for the Titans? Because we were going back and forth from locations at Fordyce, and so we didn't have our computers with us half the time, so I couldn't sit there and monitor Twitter and see who was talking. He's like, Jeffrey Simmons. I was like, oh, okay, we're definitely playing that. So you're there. So we're listening to it, you know, on the air and just sitting there looking at, like, going, what in the world? You were there. What was your thoughts, and what were people around? Was everybody doing the same thing we were doing, or was it awkward?
Yeah. Well, I mean, look, I give him credit for talking because, you know, because he didn't practice, he probably didn't have to, but he did. So I think that's good. Now, we've talked ad nauseum about how the Titans' secrecy, they think, does them favors. We don't believe it does them favors. We think it just hurts them, because all it does is create speculation. And, you know, look, I give Jeffrey credit for talking. He knew what was coming, and he knew the message that he was trying to put out. That message just wasn't very believable. That's all. You know, I mean, again, I'm one who's just like, hey, put it out there, and it's there for a day, and then everybody kind of deals with it. You know, I don't want to put words in anyone's mouth, but it would have been easy to say, you know what, I love it here, I want to be here, I know the Titans want me here, we're going to get something worked out, I just can't step foot on the practice field until we do, because I can't take a chance on getting hurt. It's no different than when Taylor, you know, got his deal done and he left, you know, until until the deal got done. We're going to get a deal done. So, you know, I thought it was important to be here to show that I'm not holding out, because I think that's what he was really trying to get out, is I'm not holding out. I'm not holding out. I mean, I think he desperately wanted to get that message across that he's not holding out.
But he is.
Well,
he is.
Yeah,
he's holding in.
So it's like he's holding in.
Yeah. But I mean, like, you know, this is me guessing, because once again, all we can do is speculate because we don't get answers on this stuff. My guess is with the Titans is they told him, Jeff, be here. We'll work something out, but you need to be here. And so he was there, and they came to an agreement that they felt good about, that he could be there, that they could continue to work on his deal. Like, the Titans love that guy, and there's no reason not to. And I don't think that any of this is going to get in the way of anything. I think he's going to be a Titan for a long time, and I think he's going to make a lot of money. It just, you know, Jeff was uncomfortable with it, and it, you know, the explanation made everyone else kind of uncomfortable with it. And then, you know, we knew we were going to talk to Vrabel afterwards, and so we knew we weren't going to get any kind of clarity whatsoever. And so just kind of left it at what it was. And it leaves us here kind of, you know, I'd say reading the tea leaves, but it's more like reading a billboard.
Yeah, but are you uncomfortable with where it seems like he's going behind the scenes, his camp? Because I know you've been here, the Vince Young, Vince Young, and his basically family handle. That's the first, Corey, it was the first, well, these guys know
his
it.
Family robbed him blind.
Oh my gosh, it's a horrible, horrible idea. But I just, I don't think that works at all. Do you think, is he going down that rabbit hole?
Well, I think he is. I mean, but like, he knows his family better than we do, and he trusts them. I mean, he's got family with NFL experience. I think he's leaning on that. I do think you need, you know, when you've got the dollars at stake that they've got, when you've got the nuances of the contracts that they've got, I do think you need someone with legal expertise.
Yes,
If
you're going into a negotiation for your next TV deal and it's the biggest one of your life, and you think it's going to be maybe the biggest one of your life. Look, put your feeling. You can love your family. You can trust your family. You can believe there are some really smart cats in your family. But the biggest deal of your life, do you want people that's not their area of expertise doing your deal?
Yeah, I mean, apparently, you know, everybody's different. And some people only trust the people closest to them. And I'm not saying that that's Jeff, but that's the way some people are. You know, they're very tight knit in their family and their surroundings, and that's the only people that they trust is family. And you know, and again, I don't know what the background is. I just know, like you do, a lot of times in these circumstances, the situations, the finish has been tragic, and you know, you don't want that to be the case. And to answer your question, I don't have an agent. I negotiate my own deals, but if I was going to negotiate a deal that was going to be worth 10 times what I'm making now, which is where he's probably going to be, you know, I probably would hire someone to be in the room with me and to make sure everything got worked out.
I've never had an agent, but all my contract deals have been through with an attorney. I've had an attorney.
Yeah.
You need somebody to read over the language.
I've seen enough contracts now that I know all the TV language. I know what everything means. And so I feel good about doing it myself. But like you're saying, when there's more at stake, you need to have more safeguards in place.
We're talking to Corey Curtis, News 2, about the Titans. Okay, I'm going to ask you a hypothetical question because I heard Rex Rowe talking about this morning.
Uh-oh.
He said that you're going to hear the phrase Tannehill to Austin Hooper a lot this year.
Yeah.
If you hear that a lot this year, like he says, what kind of season do you think Tannehill's going to have?
Well, I mean, look, he needs to have a better year than he had last year. And, you know, they've drafted a guy behind him. So I think if he's not motivated, you know, from the finish to last season and now the way this one started, then you know, you'd have to question the ability to motivate him. So I think he's motivated. And I think the important thing with Tannehill is what we've always seen is he throws to the guys he trusts. He throws to the guys that he's had the most work with. And since Hooper's been here, and he's been here, they've worked together a lot. And we've already seen, you know, that connection, you know, at camp, you know, working itself out. And so I think, you know, tight ends tend to catch balls over the middle. That's where Tannehill does some of his best work. So I think it should cut down on his interception total. What was his total last year, 14?
Mm-hmm.
Something like that. I think it should cut down on his interception total. I don't know about the Titans, you know, chunk play situation. Their chunk play situation took a bit of a dip last year for a while until they could get, you know, AJ back up and rolling. But, you know, I think their ability to move the chains will be okay. And I think, you know, I think he could have a big year. I think he could have a good year completion percentage-wise and with fewer turnovers. I just don't know if yards per attempt or yards per completion will be as good as we've seen it.
Yeah. And I asked that question because he's relied so much on the tight end in his career. And, you know, last year, obviously there was a dip at that
position.
Well,
they didn't have any really. So yeah. That was kind of on the Titans. They decided they could take whatever's off the top of the trash heap and do it that way.
Yeah. And it didn't work out.
It didn't work out.
I was reading Jim Wyatt's column the last couple of days on TennesseeTitans.com. And it's not the first time that I've seen him or anyone else mention this guy, but when we talk about the receiver position, you know, it's been obviously Treylon Burks and Robert Woods and Nick mm-hmm. Westbrook-Ikhina, but Josh Malone, that was out of the University of Tennessee, has apparently had a really good offseason to this point. Now, I want to see it in training camp. I want to see it in the mm-hmm. preseason. But is he making a case right now, Corey, to potentially be a part of this receiving core?
Well, I mean, you know, he's made a good first impression, I guess. By the way, went to Station Camp High School, a former Titans on two prep player of the week.
Yep.
That which is always fun to see. And you know, you look at him, he looks the part, right? I mean, he's a big dude. And you know, he came out of Tennessee as a high draft pick. It hadn't happened for him though to this point. And I guess that's my concern. He's been in the league for a while and hasn't been able to make it happen. So I guess, you know, kind of on the opposite of the Forsberg spectrum, it's nice to see him out there competing. I'd love to see him be a part of this receiver rotation. I would. But until I see him do it with other uniforms on the other side of the field, I'm not going to believe it because it hasn't happened to this point, and he's had chances. I mean, I think he was like Jets practice squad last year, right?
Yeah, that sounds right.
And, I mean, that's not a great team, or wasn't a great team. They made some moves. But, you know, hopefully this is the team that it works out for him at. He's, like I said, he's got the size and some of the ability. You know, we've seen him make some plays in camp, and hopefully he can carry it over, and hopefully this is just the right team. But I don't know, how many stories do you guys know of receivers who just kind of bounced around the league for about 4 or 5 years, didn't do anything, and then all of a sudden were guys?
I was literally bouncing that around in my head when you guys were discussing
it doesn't happen. I mean, you hear about it once in a while with a running back
or quarterbacks,
or
you
quarterbacks,
can see,
you know, who take time to develop, mm-hmm. you know, that sort of thing. But with receivers, generally, those guys have the juice or they don't. And, you know, so, you know, and it used to take a couple years for those guys to develop, but there's a difference between taking a couple years to develop and, you know, I mean, look at his stat line. It is what it is. And so, you know, hopefully he gets to turn around. It would be awesome to see him be a part of that group. And, you know, look, he's battling, to me, probably Dez Fitzpatrick for a spot on this team. I think those two guys will probably be going head-to-head for a spot on the team. That's my guess because, you know, you've got Burks, you've got Woods, you've got Phillips, you've got Westbrook-Ikhina. So that's four, right? And I'm sure I'm missing somebody else in there, I'm sure. And then, you know, you'll have Fitzpatrick, Malone. And are they going to keep Racy McMath because they like him on special teams? I think there's a good chance of that.
I think the best example I can come up with is Delanie Walker.
Yeah.
7 years in San Francisco, I think 20-something catches was his biggest year. And then,
yeah,
you know,
but he played
here.
A lot.
Yeah,
he played a lot. And he had a role.
But, I mean, the stats showed that, yeah. You know, there wasn't much there. And then he came here and exploded and flirted with 100 catch seasons, yeah. Right?
He also had Vernon Davis playing.
No, I understand. Right. But that was just one that came to mind.
Yeah.
That's seven yeah. years of yeah,
he,
nothing.
He got an opportunity here.
Yeah.
And, you know, look, when Malone went to the Bengals, they had, what, A.J. Green and Tyler Boyd.
Right.
And all.
Yeah, they were
a
pretty crowded house. Yep.
Yeah, they did. They did. And then last year he was with Zach Wilson, who can't hit a barn.
He can't. Corey, good stuff from you. Thanks for doing this. As always, we'll talk to you soon.
All right. Yeah, by the way, that's one of my calls. Everybody who's saying that, you know, Zach Wilson's going to take a leap, I'll believe it when I see it because that guy was terrible.
Yeah, maybe yeah. a leap off the rocks into the lake for
yeah,
cliff
diving.
Yep. Thank you, Corey. Corey Curtis, News 2, back to wrap up the first hour next.